He says to Yosef, when he's going to see that the matter is not with us for mace, Yaakov Avinu will die. Avodecha in this context means Yehuda. Yehuda here is the Avodecha as Sevas, the old age of Avdecha Avinu, your servant, our father, Biyogoyin in sorrow, Shalom. Take note over here.
Isn't Avodecha plural?
Avodecha, you're right, there's a yud. Yes, there's a yud. You are correct. When there's a yud, it's plural. So that means that Avodecha means all of your servants, which means all of us. Yehuda is representing all of his brothers that are present. We're all going to be responsible. All of your servants are going to be responsible now for causing our father to die. Okay, let's see what Rashi says. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Who's going to die? Vames aviv mitzorosai. Our father will die from his tsar. Now take note that here it's the almost the same exact pasuk as we learned yesterday about death. The hoya kivoya over here is saying that who's going to die? Kein hanar vames. Yesterday we learned about may. Let me go. You don't have it in front of you. It's on the other page. But let me just read you the pasuk. I have the chumash in front of me. Parashat Vayigash. Okay, the pasuk said. Pasuk Chaf, the beginning of the parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, it said, "Vanoimer el Adoni." Vanoimer, we said to our master, "Yesh lanu av zaken v'yelid zukunim katan." The Yachiv Meis, and that's not the Pasuk, I'm sorry, it's the wrong Pasuk, I'm sorry. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vanoimer El Adoni, Lo Yuchal Hanar Lazoi Vesaviv, Vyoza Vesaviv, Vomeis. If he leaves his father, he will die. Who will die? So we learned this on the first time, the first day, we learned this in the beginning. I always thought that the word Vomeis means Yaakov will die. Yaakov, that's a total mistake because Rashi clearly says who's going to die. Binyamin's going to die. The Ozaves of just like his mother died on the road, this person has bad mazel. Rashi there in that pasuk of Chabay said the Ozaves of Vameisim Yazaves of Doyagimanu. We are concerned. Shema Yomus Baderech Kedesh Shari Imay Baderech Meisa. Okay, so we learn pasuk of Bay's dear the word when it said Vameis. The one that's going to die is Binyamin. And here it says, if we come back home and the child is not with us, here Vomeis, the one that's going to die is Yaakov. Now how does he know that? How did Rashi know that? Obviously he did. Somehow he was medayik in the words of the Pasuk, or there's a Mesorah. And Rashi, it's interesting, Rashi goes out of his way to make that clear. Here in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Hayakirasoki Einanar Vameis, who's going to die? Aviv, our father will die, Mitzarosei. And back in Chav Chav Beis, V'ozaves Aviv Vameis, Im Yazaves Aviv, Doyagimanu, Shema Yomus Baderech, Ben Yomin is going to die. Shema Imay Baderech Meis. You know what this reminds me of? There's a tikkun called, if you ever lane, okay, so I don't use this tikkun because it's too confusing for me. I stopped using it a very long time ago, but there's a tikkun Simonim. Tikkun Simonim is a tikkun for the real professionals. It has a lot of features in this tikkun for people who lane. And one of the features is every time you have a word or a phrase that is exactly the same as another phrase, and not say the whole Torah, but within the recent parshias, within the same parsha for sure, and it could be even within the next parasha, the previous parasha. This is what confuses people the most. The hardest part, I'll give you an example. Boys who prepare for the bar mitzvah, and they lay in the haftorah from klaf. Okay, there are boys who lay not just the parasha, they lay also the haftorah from klaf. Speak to a professional who trains boys. He'll tell you, and I've seen this just from observing, they almost never make a mistake in the Haftarah. Many boys who lay in the Parasha and the Haftarah, somehow it's very mysterious, the Haftarah is always flawless. It's very common, flawless, no mistakes, no need to make any corrections. But the parsha, no matter how much they prepare, there's always something that goes wrong. There's something about the parsha that they make a mistake. Now you'll say, oh, it's because they're nervous. It takes like 7 aliyos to calm down, you know, you're stage fright. Until you get used to the situation, it takes time to calm down. That's definitely, definitely true. But there's another factor. And that is, in the parsha, in the Torah, it is extremely common to have words and expressions that are exactly the same, a group of 2, 3, 4 words that are exactly the same, even, and they're maybe one column apart or a few psukim apart. And in this pasuk, the melody is one way. And in the next time that you have those sequence of words, it's a different way. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be the same words. It can be something can be very, very similar. And that confuses a person very much, not even realizing it. Subconsciously, because these are exactly the same words, subconsciously, your mind, you're used to saying the word with a certain melody. And then when you see the words again later on, it's a different melody. Unless you're so fluent in your seviva, you get confused. So what does this tikkun do? This tikkun, it puts those words in gray. It highlights it with a gray background in the part of the tikkun of the Torah section in order to draw your attention to the fact this is a place where you as a Baal Kriya are prone to make a mistake. Because since these words are exactly the same as the words a few lines before, a few lines after, in a different column, not so far distant from this location, if you are not concentrating and are seeing the whole pasuk in its context, if you're just pausing for a second, you space out, your mind wanders, you are going to make a mistake here. Because this is a booby trap, and we want to bring this to your attention. We're going to highlight these words and correct yourself. For me, this doesn't really work well because I never get up to that point where I'm able to go look at the nuance. I'm just always struggling for the last minute just to get the basics. But people who are professionals, they love this because, you know, it points out for them all the natural pitfalls. You have that often in the parish of Rashi as well. Rashi was way ahead of his time. And he does exactly the same thing. Rashi, many times, he makes comments which you wonder, why did Rashi need to make this comment? Rashi can make a comment on any word he wants, any letter he wants. There is an infinite amount of material for Rashi to draw upon to say whatever he wants. And Rashi is very selective. He's very selective in which medrash he wants to select, extremely selective. From the infinite amount of material that's available to Rashi, you know that Rashi is fluent in the entire Tanakh. He quotes Pesukim right and left. Rashi is fluent in every single medrash that ever existed. He's fluent in Chazal, in the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi. How do we know? Because he quotes from these things. He quotes from them right and left. So why does Rashi sometimes quote a Chazal when I can show you another 50 Memorei Chazal? It's a mystery. Why did he select this particular Chazal, this particular medrash, over another 50 Midrashim? Why did he comment on this word and quote you a Gemara on the next word, he can quote you 50 Gemaras, and it shows to say nothing. Why? It's a very big mystery. So I believe very firmly that Rashi is behaving in some instances similar to the Tikkun Koirim called the Simonim, the name of a company or name of a publisher, I don't even know what they are. It's called the Simon, Tikkun Koirim Simonim. And where you have in a certain range words or expressions which are identical, but they have different meanings, Rashi goes out of his way to highlight those words as a way of you paying attention. Don't confuse this word with the word later on. Back in Pasuk HaBeis, it says, V'ozav es aviv vames. If you ask the average person, what does it mean there, vames, and you don't look at Rashi, and you don't look at Unkelus, you don't look at anything, you say, it says there that if we're going to take away Binyamin is a young guy, Binyamin is a young child, he seems to be in good health, there's nothing to worry about him. He'll go to Mitzrayim, what's going to happen to him? He's a healthy young child. He's a young person. He'll survive. The one that's not going to survive is Yaakov. When you take away Yaakov's ben zakunim, you leave him all alone here, as he himself said. My wife died. My Yosef disappeared. Also, then this one's going to die. So we have to be afraid. He'll have a heart attack. He'll pass out. See, Yaakov was a zaken mufluk. He was an old person over here. So if you ask the average person, now looking in Rashi, you would say the mace goes on Yaakov. And so Rashi goes, no, that's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. The one that's going to die is Binyamin's going to die. And it that takes on much more meaning when you come to the post that we've just read, V'hoya ki roso ki ein hanar v'mace, and the word nar, over here, it's very similar. It's very similar concept when it said to the other part, Pelech HaBeis. It's the same word, right? It's the same word. It's part of like a similar expression, a similar dialogue, and you can very very easily get confused. So therefore, Rashi over here is selecting his parish as a way of contrasting. I know in the next column you're gonna have the same expression, same word, and I don't want you to make that mistake. So that is why Rashi went out of his way to select. It's not just telling you pshat, maybe obvious the pshat, but it's more than it being obvious. It's more of highlighting. Don't get confused. Now let's see the targum pasik. We have to be pasik lamed aleph. Targum says. Let me move. On my screen, I have over here a lot of things. They're in the way. I have to move them around to make room so I can see what it says on the page. It says over here, Lamed Aleph, the hey kad yichze, are les u lema, when our father will see that the young man is not with us, he's not present, the mus, he will die, the yachatun avdoch, your servants, okay, will bring down your sevas avdoch. Now over here, see Mr. Rapport, this is the over here he doesn't differentiate between save you are definitely correct that the word avodecha with a yud, whenever there's a yud, that means plural, it means many. But we use the word avdecha or avodecha multiple times in this discussion. We mentioned yesterday seven times Yaakov Avinu, the children call their father his servant. And the Targum, for whatever reason, does not differentiate between the plural and the singular, which is very common. That was something that we talk about in over here. He loves to darshan about it on the parish on the side over here. But it's interesting that the Targum over here does not make a differentiation. It says, V'chatun avdoch. How come he left out the yu? And what exactly is the plural of the Targum? Let's see. Yosivas avdoch avuna. We're referring to the plural and the singular in the same. It says over here, as Mr. Rapport pointed out very importantly, Varidu avodecha, all of the children, es sevas, the old age, avdecha, singular, avinu, our father, your servant. And the Targum, when he translates, does not differentiate between the two. Yosevas avdoch, avuna, our father, bidovona. Now, what's bedovona? That's dovon, that is anguish. Yogon lishol, into the grave. Let's see over here if we have some parish over here on the side, Lamed Aleph. Let's see what he says over here, if he says anything. He has very little parish. He says bedovona. Okay, this word over here means yogon. Kolosh nakos v'chol levav dovoi, from Yeshaya. So the word over here, bedovona, means from Yeshaya, every heart is dovoi, full of anguish. The chol levav davoi. So the word of Yibadavoi is the Aramaic. It's a Hebrew word. And Yeshaya is only Hebrew. This is Aramaic. But we do know often there's an overlap between Hebrew and Aramaic. And here, the translation, the word yogoin is davoi bedavoi no, sorrow. He's not only giving any parish over here, unfortunately, about Avdach, Mr. Rapport's point, Mr. Rapport's observation of the word, the plural. Okay, let's now go further. Pasuk Lamed Ki Avdecha. Now he goes further. Ki Avdecha Raves Hanar, your servant. Now who's here? It's Loshen Yochid. Avdecha means Yehuda. In the last week's parasha, we learned that it was Yehuda that said to Yaakov Avinu, Anochi ervenu miyodi tivakshenu. I'm the guarantor. Or Rav, anochi ervenu. I am the co-signer. Esanar meim avi leimar im lo avi enu elecha. If I did not bring the child back to you, v'chotasi leavi kol hayamim. What does that mean? That's a very bizarre expression. Let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi ki avkar esanar. Your servant erav snar v'im toimar. So this is what you have to read between the lines. If you're going to ask Yosef, lama ani nichnas l'tager yoser mishar achai, why am I coming to l'tager to quarrel? Okay, that's a very powerful word. I'm coming to fight with you. Yehuda is getting up. He's saying to Yosef provocative words. Why? What do you need this for? Go home, go to sleep. What are you getting involved in this machlokes? Yosef mishar achoyim achim. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Heim kulam b'chutz. They all are on the outside. V'ani niskasharti b'kesher chozok l'yos minuda b'beis olamos. Powerful stuff. They are b'chutz. That's a shocking thing to say. That all of my brothers couldn't really care less. They couldn't care less because it doesn't make a difference to them what the outcome is going to be. Really? It doesn't make a difference, the outcome? Really? Doesn't make a difference. After all they've done, they sold their brother as a slave and they caused their father so much tsar. I always like to tell you that the chait of Mechiras Yosef was at least a triple chait. There were three major victims in this crime. Number one, Yosef. He was a slave. Number two, Yaakov. They caused their father grief. 22 years of enormous grief. It aged him. It changed his life. And number three, who's the third victim? Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a victim, their grandfather. Why was he a victim? Rashi tells us that Yitzchak knew that Yosef was alive. So why was he a victim? So Rashi gives the answer. Because Yitzchak said, I can't tell Yaakov. If Hashem has not, Yaakov's a Navi himself. If Hashem has not told Yaakov, it's not my place to reveal this information to my son Yaakov that Yosef is really alive. So he didn't tell him. So what was the consequence of not telling him? Yitzchak, every day, would observe his son Yaakov in enormous grief. There is no greater pain to a person in this world than watching his children suffer. There is no greater pain. You know, you all know that I'm not such a big chassid of Rav Ashkin. Unfortunately, I said some not nice things sometimes. But this past, 2 weeks ago, it really shook me up. I saw this a long time ago anyway. It's nothing new to me, but it shook me up a little bit. And they made for him this year a third-year anniversary party of him being pardoned by President Trump. They make every year a party, like a hilula, a party on the day that he was released. Shevach Voidota Hashem, and he was released. They have a program, whatever they do. So they showed this video, which I saw this, but there's nothing new. I saw this video, but just as a good reminder, they showed Rabashkin's father. Now his father already passed away. Rabashkin's father passed away, I think this year, from Corona. If I'm not mistaken, Rabashkin's father passed away from Corona. And they showed a video of them telling him, Od Yosef Chai. It's an incredible video. It's the video when they come to him and they tell him, you're not going to believe this. Trump released him. Od Yosef Chai. And you look at his face and it's a sight to see. Okay? The glow on his face is in a league by itself, infinitely greater than the glow on the face of Rabashkin and all of his supporters. You look at his father's face, and then they show in the video of people coming to him, his father, Rabashkin's father, to give him Mazel Tov, Kabbalah Aspanim. They come to him to shake his hand, to hug him, to kiss him. His son was just released. I mean, you watch that and you melt. That's like an amazing thing. And it's so sad because he died. He died within the year. He died like Pesach time from Corona. That's also tragic. But there's no greater tsar a parent has than to watch his son suffer. And there's no greater joy a person has than when he sees his son, his children succeed. So Yitzchak every single day witnessed, even though he was blind, whatever that means, but he witnessed every single day his son Yaakov suffer. That wasn't collateral damage to the nth degree. So when the brothers sold Yosef, they committed three crimes. They committed a crime against Yosef, they committed a crime against Yaakov, and they committed a crime against Yitzchak. That's serious stuff. Okay, there's a big, big debate if the Shvatim ever asked formally Yosef for Mechila. There's a lot of discussion about this. But one thing is for sure, nowhere do we ever find any remez that they asked their father Mechila. Nowhere do we find any hint they asked Yitzchak Mechila. Yitzchak died before the whole thing even finished. Yitzchak died in the middle of this whole thing. During these 22 years, Yitzchak died somewhere in the middle. Nowhere do we find they asked Yitzchak and they asked Yaakov for Mechila. So either you want to go say, oh, they asked Mechila. Well, yeah, they asked Mechila, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but what about Yaakov? What about Yitzchak? So here, this to me is a very shocking Rashi, and it needs obviously much more explanation to say, all my other brothers, they couldn't care less. You know why? Kula mebuchutz. They're all mebuchutz. What are the mebuchutz? They're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. What they did, they did a very big idea of selling Yosef, and now we're dealing with Binyamin, and Binyamin is part of the tzara, because as Yaakov himself said, if you're going to take Binyamin and he doesn't come back, you're going to bring upon me the tsar of Rachel and Yosef all over again. We learned that yesterday in Rashi. We have it on the page over here. V'myamu zeh doyme olai sheshloshtan meisu b'yoymechad. So what do you mean over here, the bechutz? If we don't bring Binyamin back, then Yaakov said, doyme olai sheshloshtan meisu b'yoymechad. They will have killed Yosef all over again. And they did kill Yosef. They did. They're the ones who sold him. So this requires... This is a question which I don't have any answer for, but this definitely requires some explanation. V'ani niskasharti b'kesher chazok lios minuda bebeiz olamim. Now, Rashi's words have come to explain what it means over here, kol hayomim. Kol hayomim means my days, l'man ya'arichu yomecha. What does it say over here? It says in the pasuk, v'chotosi le'avi, I will be guilty of sin, kol hayomim. It says in the pasuk, l'man ya'arichun yomecha. If you do kibud avoim, you'll have long days. And Chazal tells us, what does it mean, long days? Well, the pshuta shel mikra is long days in this world. And the drash is, Chazal say, tschar b'chai al b'leka. There's no such thing as reward in this world. And what it means over here, you're going to have long days. What it means is long days in the next world. So Rashi is coming to explain, ki avcha rav stuff. You want to know why I'm so involved, is because I'm the one who is responsible. I'm mibifnim, then b'chutz. Mimavilei wa imloyavir elecha. I don't go bring it back to you. I'm the one that's going to get the curse. I'm the one who said, b'chi erven b'yodhi tefakshenu. Not just in this world, in the next world. So what does it mean? The brothers are only responsible in this world? Very difficult to understand what this means. Now let's see over here what it says in the Targum. Pasuk Lamed Beis in the Targum. Arei avdoch me'orav be'ulema. Your servant has become a cosigner for the young man. Min abo le'meimar im lo. I say nay loch. If I don't bring him back, ve'ehe, I will be chotei, a sinner, le'abo kol yomaya, all of my days. Doesn't really explain very much. Let's see on the parish on the side. Pasuk Lamed Beis. We have here some parish. I am the orav for the young man. Targum orav kilu hoya kosav, as if it says or rave. Okay, you can only see it over here. It must be the word. The word, what is it? I can't see it either. Let me go look over here in the Chumash, what it says over here. I took a very bad picture here on this. It says orav, yeah, orav. That's what orav is. Say orav. What's an orav? An orav is a cosigner. If I don't pay for the merchandise, this guy, he'll pay for the merchandise. V'chein tig manar be'oiz beiz v'tzoch tam. And he traded the tig manar be'oiz beiz be'ulma. Ki avdecha orav es hanar. The targum again, we'll go look at the targum again. Pasuk lam, what is the targum we say? Lam beiz. Arei avdoch me'orav be'ulema. What's this beiz doing here? What's this beiz? Me'orav be'ulema. That's not what it says over here. Ki avdecha orav es hanar. It's to do with the lamet. Ma'arav li ulema. What's the base? That's, oops. Sorry, what happened over here? Did I lose that? Do you still see this? 1 second. You see it? Okay, I assume you can see it. Okay. So let's see over here. So what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the tam? And he doesn't. He doesn't give us a reason. He just asks questions. He doesn't give the answers. Okay, so much for that. Okay, next. Loch elecha, okay, v'ahei chatei, kaas avinu yoyna, sh'akavona achashev choyte kol hayabim eitzel avi, ki lezos lo yislach li, he'll never forgive me, v'dvar m'shevin ad mochaveri, ein, kapara ad sh'yirtze chaveri, v'amashkos av le'el. Okay, so I will be a sinner. Okay, he's not really explaining very much, u'cha'an, that's Pasuk Lamed. Okay, so that's it. So we got to work with. Let's go to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Now he negotiates. The art of making a deal. Okay, he must have taken a course in American history in the 45th president. The Atah now. Yeshev Navcho Tachasanah. Let's make a deal. Let me replace Binyamin. You want a slave? Let me be Koifer Nefesh. Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Yeshev na'avtcho yusur tachas hanar ve'evet la'adoni ve'hanar ya'al imechov. Let's do another pasuk. Ki eich ele elavi. How can I go to my father? V'hanar inen eiti. The nar is not with me. Pen ere b'vara. Now we know there's a difference between the word pen means I do not. There's a word ulai. Ulai and pen mean maybe. Ulai has a connotation, I really do want it to happen. Pen has the connotation, I really do not want it to happen. Pen, I do not want Erev Vara to see the evil Asha Yimsa Esavi, that I will find my father. Let's see Rashi needs to psukim. Lamed Gimel, Yeshev Na Avdecha, L'chol Dovar, Ani Me'ula Menu. I'm better than him. L'gevura, V'lemulchama, Ula Shamesh, and to be a servant. Now, this is something very, very interesting. This Rashi is very interesting. Why is it interesting? It's because ordinarily, you don't want to brag. Ordinarily, it's not a good thing to brag. It's not a good thing to say to all your brothers, look at the irony of what's happening over here. Yosef, who they sold as a slave, how did he get into trouble? I'm better than you. He basically told his brothers, I'm better, I'm superior. All of you guys are losers. You're going to bow down to me. All of your bundles are bowing down to my bundles. The stars, the moon, everyone's bowing down. I'm the winner. You're the losers. I'm better than all of you. My father made me a kasainis possum. What are you guys wearing? Shmatas. I'm better. Right? Here, Yehuda is bragging. Yehuda is now... saying about Binyamin, look, this is Yehuda and Binyamin. So Binyamin basically is the replacement for Yosef. This whole thing is just a repeat performance. This was clear. They said themselves, this whole thing was super duper obvious to them, and that was really Yosef's plan, a replication of Mechiras Yosef. Yosef was sold as a slave, and here they have his brother, and his brother now is being taken as a slave. Zel Basach, right? Same exact thing. Yosef was sold as a slave, and now Binyamin is being taken as a slave. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to say Gegzudahi, take him as a slave, avios amigos, we're out of here, we're going back home? Or they've learned from their mistakes, and they go and they learn from the mistakes, and here we're going to redeem. We're not going to let our brother be a slave. We're going to redeem our brother. And here they choose to redeem their brother, and the way they redeem their brother is by bragging. I'm better than you. Yosef was the one who bragged. He's better than them. And now the way they're going to redeem him is with those same words. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. What does that say to you? The irony is very powerful. It's almost as if they're saying that sometimes being better, here it's an important thing that Yehuda should be better. Because if Yehuda is better, then the mission will be accomplished. If Yehuda is better, then he has what to negotiate with Yosef. If Yehuda is not better, then it's a pathetic negotiation. What? Well, you owe me $1,000, and you're going to give me $500? Get lost. I want Binyam. Binyam is worth $1 million. You're not worth $1 million. You're not a solution. You have to be true. In order to succeed in the mission, you do have to be better. This was sending them a message. You know something? Maybe when our brother said that he was better, Yitaka was better, because there was a mission that had to be achieved, and he had to be the one that achieved that mission, and he had to be better to achieve that mission. Here, the irony, Hashem over here is giving them, this Rashi is a very powerful Rashi, Hashem over here is giving them Musar. You should not have been jealous to begin with. Just because Yosef said to you that he is better, whatever his cheshbonos were, okay, that's a separate issue. Why did he provoke them? It's a separate issue. But whatever it is, he was bragging that he's better. You know something? That's right. If he was not better, then who knows? Then whatever mission Hashem had for Klal Yisrael, maybe would not be able to be fulfilled. And this is being taught to Yehuda to his face. Here Yehuda is the one that's bragging, I'm better than you. And Yehuda is praying for his life, that when I say I'm better, I really should be better. Otherwise, I have nothing to negotiate. I'm not going to succeed in my mission. This powerful Musar. When you see something, you can take, it took him 22 years to see that it was Taka, it was good that someone else. How many times in your life do you have these situations where you're very, very disappointed? So disappointed. You were trying so hard to achieve a goal, and then someone came along and snatched it away from you. And you're very disappointed. You're in a lot of pain. And then years later, you look back and you can say with the ultimate clarity that had I succeeded in attaining that object that I wanted, that position, that job, it would have been a real disaster. And Hashem did for me an incredible chesed. He got me out of that ugly situation. It happens to people, every person this happens to over and over again. And that's exactly how Yosef. Yosef here was tormenting them. I'm better. I'm better than all of you guys. And the burning mad. And now Yehuda realizes, you know, maybe when he said he was better, there was a reason why he was better. Because look at me. I'm saying that I'm better. How does Binyamin feel about it? I'm saying right in front of Binyamin's face, I'm better than you. And everyone wants, and I want to be better. And what I want, because in order that I should succeed in allowing Binyamin to go back home to his father and not cause my father more, Agmas Nefesh. Okay, so let's go further. Now, over here also, another important point to take note of is three things. Rashi's words are always very precise. Gevura, Milchama, and Ulashamish. What does that mean exactly? What's the difference between Gevura and Milchama? You're a warrior, Ulchama, a strategist. Ulchama doesn't mean to mamash fight with the sword. To fight with your weapon, that's Gevura. Milchama means you're a general and you're planning strategy. And then when Ulashamish means service, civil service, a politician. What happens to all these generals? Not in America so much, but in Eretz Yisrael, almost every prime minister was once a soldier, right? Was Netanyahu a soldier? Does anyone know, was Netanyahu a soldier? Was he the only exception? I don't think he was a soldier. Did he go to basic training even? Netanyahu? Netanyahu was really an American. But mayors, Netanyahu, did he ever serve in the army, Netanyahu?
In the Matkal, he was in the SEAL, the Special Services.
Netanyahu?
Yeah.
He was a skilled soldier?
Yes, he was together with Ehud Barak, with all the big guys. He was there.
Netanyahu?
His brother was an officer.
His brother got killed.
So right.
His brother was an officer. But did he rise in the ranks? Did he become an officer?
I don't think he stayed long enough.
He was a prior. How many years did he serve? Okay, but how many years did he serve? 2 years, 3 years.
I don't know. Maybe
not too long. Not too long. Okay, but besides him, Netanyahu, all of the prime ministers besides Netanyahu were hardened soldiers. They were officers.
Except for two that I know. Who?
Who?
Three. Begin. He was a soldier in the underground.
So he was even worse. Begin did the real killing. Come on, Begin, it grew on. Begin was the real deal. Yeah. Much more than anyone else. Yeah. And okay, Golda Meir is not a riot because a woman. Yeah, what else?
But Peres was a real murderer.
Okay, so all right. Let's take a look at the Targum.
Ben Gurion wasn't in the army either.
Who?
Ben Gurion, Eshkol.
Ben Gurion wasn't Igrun. He wasn't part of the clan. No.
He could have made decisions, but he was never known.
Yeah, four, okay, could be, all right.
And Shazar wasn't, I mean, they were
all right, okay. In America, it's almost none of them. In recent times, in our lifetime, they didn't really, not too many, if anyone.
Rabin was actually the first one who was a real general.
A general. But all right. Of them, in Israel, it's a different culture. All of them have military service. Okay, Pasuk, Tzaviyah, and Pasuk, Lamed, Gimel. Lamid, what is it over here? Kiat Lambez Lamgil Are Avdoch Morav Postlamgil Ukhain Khan Yitev Kaan Avdoch to Khis Ume now Khan now Yitev let him sit Khan now Avdoch your servant meaning me let me Yehuda be the replacement to Khis Ulema Avdoch Luiboini Vulema and the young man Binyamin Yisak let him ascend Im Achari to his father Are because Echdein. Now, what does Echdein mean? Echdein means I. Echdein means Ech. Like, Ech Ele. How could I go up to my father? Are Echdein. How could it be? Esak. I will ascend Levas above Ulema Loy Soihi Imi. And the young man is not with me. Dilma. That's Pen. Echze. I will witness. Bevishta. The shame. The bad thing. The sashkach yas abo, the badness that will find my father. So let's see these two psukim, lama gimel, lama dal, we'll stop. Lama gimel ucha'an now. Now, tzorech iyan, eich efshalom b'mayim ha'echad shnei pam ato. V'yeshlom ha'vi'ato ha'rishon perishon m'farish kumul l'fi zeh. He's asking a question, pasik lama gimel, he's asking a question, why does it say the word ato twice? V'ato, so what's he saying with Lamed Gimel? What's he saying over here? The word is bothered while they said the word Chan twice. This was bothering the Mefarish. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Ato now, Yeshev no avchotachas hanar evil Adoni. Uchan means now. Yitev, let me sit. Ke'an. How could it be? The word, the first time it's the word is vi'ata, and the second ka'an is the word no. It's a different word. No means please. No, it's not always, it means now. It also means now. There are different translations. A lot of times you get the sense that the Targum's vocabulary is much limited, is much less than Hebrew, because he very often translates different words with the same word. Vi'ata is Che'an, and no is che'an. He translates both of these words exactly the same. Now, let sit. why are you saying the word now twice? Now and now. If you'll tell me, no means please. I want to make a bakosha. I have two different words. Now, please, let me sit here as his replacement. But the Targum says, no, the word no means now. But if it means now, why is there another word now? That's what the Targum does. So we hear on the side, he makes that point. A very good diuk, very powerful diuk. And what does he say? Tzarchiyin. Eichev shalloymar b'maymar echot shnei pam the word ato. V'yeshloymar. V'yata rishon b'farish kamo ulefizeh. Ulefize, so he's saying it's not exactly the same thing. According to what I've told you, now let me be the same being. According to this, my idea, let me be your replacement. All right, let's go further. Techois im yifteres miyamin hu yochol lemalei mekoyim moikim ashkaz avrashi lechol ani ani mulimenu ulechein tirgim techois v'loi chalaf. Very good word. Techois, if he's in exchange, it should say the word chalaf. What's techois? Im yifteres ben yamin hu yochol lemalei mekoyim moikim ashkaz avrashi lechol ani mulimenu. And then techois lechalaf. I'm not sure what he means. I don't know what he means by that. I don't know. Next, Eichdein. What's Eichdein mean? Eichdein is Milu Mukeves Eichdein this. Bebishta Zetagum Bera. Udlogosh Nakosha Varosh Tagum Bebish. Okay, getting into some details, which I'm going to do now. I will target him in Mesha Be'emes. You describe Leroosh, all of Debra Yaakov Avinu. The Ra'ah. Okay, I'm not sure what he means over there. The Ra'ah. The Ra'osha Debra Lov Yaakov Avinu. I'm not sure what he means by that. All right, we'll leave it with that. Hopefully, I think Baruch Hashem, we learned something over here, some new ideas. Okay, that concludes this week's Chumash and Targum. Mirshem, tomorrow we're going to do Sidur. We're up to Shemona Esrei. We're up to...
Bibi served 6 years. He was a captain.
Who, Bibi?
The attrition war. He was Yom Kippur war.
Bibi Netanyahu?
He was called up in reserves.
Okay, I'm sorry. Chaval, I didn't serve a single day. I left a finger for the State of Israel. Who might open my big mouth?
So your service with your mouth is better than his service.
Chaval. Why? He did a lot for the country. He did a tremendous amount. I don't know. It looks like it's over for him now, but he did a lot for the country. He can't say not. But, sorry.
The whole economy of Israel is based on what he did.
So it's very good, no? More or less.
Right.
More or less. He did a lot of good for the country.
Another election coming up, March 26th or March 28th.
He doesn't seem like he's going to win this one. Well, who never know? You never know.
What happens? We'll see what happens. They think he might very well win.
You think so? All right. We'll see.
Yeah, because if they come out of Corona and
they succeed, if Trump will win,
open up the country again on Shabbos, I think. One mile distance from home.
Oh, get off. Terrible. How come in this country they don't care about this new strain? They don't do anything?
We don't strain?
How come in this country they don't do anything about this? They're not doing anything about it. They're not shutting down the airplanes.
California's in lockdown.